Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Real Deal with Thomas and Ari, the podcast where we talk about anything and everything to do with movies. Be sure to follow us at StingerEHS on both Twitter and Instagram. I'm Thomas.
I'm Ari.
And it's time for our feature presentation. So, as I'm sure everyone knows, it is June. It is Pride Month. And at the same time, there have been a lot of very important protests and public speaking about the Black Lives Matter movement and everything to do with that. So we thought that it would be good this week to talk about some important African-American films and filmmakers and important LGBT films and filmmakers.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, that's what we're going to talk about that.
Yeah, not really much more of an introduction needed. You want to just jump right into it?
Yeah, I guess so. So we're going to start, we're going to talk about some African-American films and filmmakers first. So the first film we have to talk about is Within Our Gates, which was directed by Oscar Michaud.
Yep. 1920. This is considered to be the oldest known film directed by an African-American. So this is a big one. A lot of people consider it to be a sort of direct reaction to The Birth of a Nation, which came just 5 years earlier. A lot of people know about it. It's kind of like famously one of the most racist films of all time, directed by D.W. Griffith. But anyway, I watched this movie like almost a year ago exactly, I think, at this point. It was the beginning of last summer. And I don't remember the plot exactly, but it had something to do with an African-American teacher, I believe, traveling to the South to look for funding for an orphanage or a school or something. I'm a little fuzzy on it, but I like the movie. Have you seen it?
I have not.
Yeah, so when I saw it, I was kind of like on a kick of watching older movies. So I had also just watched Birth of a Nation right before. So I guess I was kind of really primed to watch this one. And it's interesting when you look back at how, like, The Birth of a Nation was really successful, right?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
And then, it, like, played at the White House and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. The first film shot at the White House, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and then this one was, like, really barred from a lot of theaters, saying that it would incite like riots and racial violence in cities. And even in Chicago specifically, I read something about like different cuts of the film being shown in different theaters because of theater owners, I guess, cutting out scenes they didn't like. And yeah. An interesting story with this one, all criticism aside, is that this film was actually lost for like 50 years. It wasn't until the 70s when one single print of the film was found in Spain with like all Spanish intertitles, and they took it, and it was missing an entire scene in the middle, an entire sequence, in fact. And they took it, and the Library of Congress, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Like restored it to the best of their ability, translated the intertitles based on Oscar Michaud's vernacular in other films, like to try to see exactly what he might have said or close to it. And they restored it, and they just had to like throw in a description of that one sequence in the middle. But that is the film that is available now on like YouTube and a bunch of stuff like that for free, if anybody wants to check it out. It's a short one, as big many piece, films were.
Big piece of film history and
exactly.
Black history.
Very important film.
And so the next movie we have to talk about, many of you probably already know of or know the director, Do the Right Thing, which was directed by Spike Lee. And we've talked about him a lot recently.
Yeah, with our last episode on his new movie, The Five Bloods. Very good movie on Netflix right now. But with Do the Right Thing specifically, this one came out in 1989. Really great film. I feel like we've talked about it a few times.
Yeah, I think we might have.
So there isn't really too much to add, but yeah, it's just a great film. I think it really says a lot about racial tensions and obviously more specifically racial conflict between like African-Americans and whites in America. Yeah. So you got anything else to add on this one?
I mean, not really. I guess if I just had to say anything, it would be like, I just think it's a really good comment on, like, ethics and what you would do in this situation and who is in the right and who is in the wrong. And I think,
yeah,
even if you're ignoring that aspect, it's a really great movie all around.
Yeah, and to go into a little bit of critique, just to say one thing that I really love about this movie, I read this in a review, and when I thought about it, I really was blown away by it. If you think about it, the title of the movie is Do the Right Thing, mm-hmm. and I guess, spoiler alert, but nobody in the movie really does the right thing. If you look at it, everybody is doing something wrong, and that's essentially where all of the conflict arises. Nobody is perfect, nobody is all good, and that's just interesting to me.
Yeah.
So yeah, great movie, great director.
So, next movie, Boys in the Hood, directed by John Singleton. I believe Ice Cube is in this movie.
Yes, and Cuba Gooding Jr.
Yes.
And Lawrence Fishburne. And there's probably more famous people, but that's all I remember. Good movie, though. Really great movie. Yeah, I don't really have too much to say about it. I think there's another one I watched, actually, like a year ago at this point. In my opinion, it can feel a little kind of dated at times. It feels very 90s, but that doesn't really detract from the message of it. It's still a very important movie, and a lot of the scenes in the movie really, really hit me when I watch it. It's definitely very impactful, despite its age at this point. When did this come out?
1991.
Yeah, so it's pretty old. It's like almost 30 years old.
Yeah. But so, I think it's really good. I thought it was, I mean, even for what it is, it's sort of like, it's an old movie. That's what it is. It's an old movie. But it really does a good job at what it tries to do.
Yeah, yeah, I know what you mean. It's like, it's almost like it's not pretentious, I guess. It's just very effective at really just providing a real story that could definitely happen in these poorer neighborhoods. It's a great film.
Yeah.
Well, moving forward, this one is a little bit more famous, I'd say. This really hit theaters pretty big a few years ago. It's called Get Out, directed by Jordan Peele, of Comedy Central fame, Key and Peele. This is definitely a very big departure from what he had previously done. There's still obviously comedy elements in it, but for the most part, this is a really interesting social commentary horror film.
Yeah.
And when I first watched it, I enjoyed it a lot, but I wasn't like blown away by it. I didn't love it, but then after rewatching it, I really think it is one of the best films of last decade.
Yeah, it's quite good. It's very good.
Yeah, and it's just it's so amazing to me between this and the Jordan Peele's second movie, Us, which came out last year, how effectively he can balance like horror and social commentary and this idea that there might be these terrifying things happening on screen, but in reality, those aren't even as scary as some of the realities of like what many of these minorities have to face every day. And that's just a very scary thought in and of itself. I really love Daniel Kaluuya's performance in this movie.
Yeah, I thought it was great.
Who else is in this? I think Bradley Whitford. That's all I know. He plays the dad, and I can't remember any of their names other than him.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a good movie. Got anything else to say about it?
No, not really. And I don't think there's much more that we can say. I think most people probably have seen it.
That's true. And most people know everything there's to know about. Not everything, but a lot of things. Anyway, jumping back over to a director we just talked about. And we'll make this quick since we talk about him a lot. But Spike Lee, he made another great film a few years ago, to no surprise. Black Klansman. This came out in 2018. Another very popular one. It won Best Adapted Screenplay at the Oscars. I think that was actually Spike Lee's first Oscar somehow, which is just amazing to me that he made Do the Right Thing 30 years ago and didn't win his first Oscar until 2 years ago. But I digress. Black Klansman. Such a good movie. It's another one like that where it's just, it's scary to think about some of the things that are just commonplace for some people.
Mm-hmm.
And like just the raw hatred that some of these people that the movie is about, that they have. It's just, it's absurd to me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also kind of funny sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like, it's a comedy about something that's not funny.
Yeah.
But it's funny.
Yeah, it knows when to be serious,
though. Yes.
It really walks that fine line of like finding like real dark comedy in like the absurdity of what these people believe, but then also recognizing that what these people believe is horrifying and that it mm-hmm. shouldn't just be laughed at. It's like, it's a real problem.
Yeah. And so we listed those movies, but we thought that we should just list some other like black directors whose mm-hmm. movies we didn't name, just so we can, so you can have more resources to watch movies by black people.
Yes.
So yes. So first one, Ava DuVernay, director of the documentary 13th.
Mm-hmm.
I believe A Wrinkle in Time movie.
Yeah.
Some others. I have to look. Selma. Yeah, Selma.
Of course. Yeah, that was... Was that one snubbed at the Oscars a few years ago? I wasn't really paying attention to the Oscars at that point because it was like 5 years ago.
I think it might have got Best Original Song.
Oh, gosh. Is that really all it got?
I'm not sure.
I saw things where, like, they wore, like, Black Lives Matter t-shirts to the premiere or something like that. And then the Academy, like, because of that, almost blacklisted the film for voting. Like, a lot of them were like, what gives them the right to do that at a film premiere? As if that's disrespectful.
It won Best Achievement in Music Written for Motion Pictures Original Song.
Uh-huh, yeah. So I haven't seen the film, but obviously it's got 99% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's very well known, very critically acclaimed.
Yeah. It was really good. I saw it when I was in like fifth grade, and I was like, wow, this is good.
Yeah, so I still need to check this out. I wonder if it's available on anything. Wait, is it available to watch for free right now? It says watch now for free on YouTube.
Wait.
Like as if it's a free rental. I might have to check this out soon. Yeah, it's a free rental right now. All right.
Wow. Now you all know.
Yeah.
Now you all know. You have no reason not to watch it.
Exactly. I'm probably going to watch this weekend, I think. And I think another film just like that, like in that same way, Just Mercy, which came out last year. That one's about systemic racism with like prison sentences and things like that. That one Warner Bros. Has for free to rent. So, yeah. Anyway, back to what we were talking about. Ava DuVernay. Yeah. Very famous and good African-American filmmaker to watch some movies from. Moving over to one that I know a little bit more about. Ryan Coogler. I've only seen... He's a great modern director. I've only seen two of his movies, I think. Black Panther and Creed. But I love them both. And he's also made Fruitvale Station, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard good things about that.
I saw Black Panther. Haven't seen the other two.
Creed's really great. I mean, I like the Rocky movies. They can be pretty cheesy.
I only ever saw Rocky 4.
That's a great one to be the only one you've seen.
Yeah.
That's such an 80s movie.
That's the one where he fights the Soviet guy, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, all right.
That one is so good in such a different way from the other ones. Like, the other ones are, like, genuinely good. But that one is just, like...
It's good.
That one's just fun to watch. Just to, like, marvel at that. And, like, Rocky training in the mountains. Anyway, we're not here to talk about Rocky. Ryan Coogler, he made Creed a few years ago. Really love that movie. Got anything else to add?
No.
All right. You could talk about this next filmmaker.
And so, next one, Boots Riley, director of, what's it called?
Sorry to Bother You?
Sorry to Bother You, yes.
Yeah.
Which is a really great movie. And sort of radical filmmaker guy. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. I saw Sorry to Bother You. I was now blown away. I really want to watch it again. I gave it like a 7 out of 10, I think, when I first saw it. I mean, I enjoyed it, but I didn't really understand it all, I don't think. But I definitely think I want to check it out again. It just seemed like such a crazy movie to me. Don't they, like, I don't want to spoil anything, but don't they all, like, turn into something really weird? I'll leave it at that.
Yes.
Yeah, that part was terrifying to me. Like, out of nowhere. It was so weird. But yeah, really, really interesting modern African-American filmmaker to check out.
Yes, and he is also a rapper.
He's a rapper?
Yeah.
Really? Is he like, does he just use the same name? Does he have like a stage name for rapping, or is it just Boots Riley?
No, I think it's just Boots Riley.
Huh. I did not know that. So I guess check out his films and his music.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on, we're going to talk about some important, some famous, some critically acclaimed LGBT films, seeing as it is June, it's Pride Month. So you wanna just start us off now?
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. So the first one we have to talk about, I've talked about this before. It's actually one of my favorite movies. So Pain and Glory, directed by Pedro Almodovar, who is actually a gay man, I believe.
Yep.
And who has made a lot of films pertaining to LGBT topics.
Yeah.
Very well known as LGBT filmmaker. And yeah, don't have much more to say because I've already talked a lot about it.
Yeah.
During this podcast.
We've definitely talked about this one a lot.
Yeah.
But just very briefly, in case anybody didn't watch those episodes, but is watching or listen, I should say, listen to those episodes, but is listening to this one now. It's a Spanish movie, came out last year. And I think it is available to watch on Stars right now, if anybody has that. I would definitely recommend it. Stars Antonio Banderas, great performance.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, really great movie.
Yes. So, next one we have to talk about. Very critically acclaimed foreign movie from last year.
Another one from last year. Another foreign film from last year. I just realized that's kind of funny.
Yeah. It's Portrait of a Lady on Fire by Celine Sciamma, who is, I believe, a lesbian filmmaker.
Yeah, I think you're right, yeah.
And so, Portrait of a Lady on Fire, in French, lesbian movie. But, yeah. I mean, like, it's good, like, not, like, offensive.
Yeah, it's just a great movie. One thing that I really love about this movie is that in a way, it definitely will impact certain people more than other people, obviously, with any movie. But just, there's something so universal about the love that's shown in the movie that I think most people can relate to it. Mm-hmm. And then even more so, I think that really says something about these people who try to say that, like, homosexuals aren't natural and, like, that isn't a natural thing. But then you see this kind of movie and, like, they're obviously sharing the same kind of love that any heterosexual relationship could have. So in that way, I think it really is a fantastic film for people to watch. They seem like nice people, just the people of the movie, just to brag a little bit, because I think I deserve to. I think we deserve to every once in a while.
Every once in a while.
We saw this at TIFF, Toronto International Film Festival.
And we saw them. We saw the
actors. Did. I can't wait. Adele
Hynel,
and I'm going to butcher her name. I don't even know how to pronounce it. Naomi Merlant? Something like that. I have no idea. I don't speak French. And then obviously the director, Celine Sciamma. They all seem like nice people. They seem very nervous, which is interesting because in the actual movie, they're like very like.
Well, and they're very confident when they want to be. Like, they all protested at that one award show.
In France, like the French Academy Awards or whatever, their equivalent. So, yeah, but they seemed shy at Toronto.
Yeah.
There was like a, what was that, like an 8 minute standing ovation, I want to say. It was so long.
Oh my God.
And they all just kind of stood there like twiddling their thumbs as if they didn't know why we were doing it. Oh, such a good movie. And they're so humble about it. Gotta love it.
Mm-hmm. All right. So next movie we have to talk about. I've talked about this one too.
Yep. I still haven't seen it.
Of course you haven't. Dog Day Afternoon, directed by Sidney Lumet. Doesn't really start out as an LGBT film, but basically it's based actually on a true story of this guy who robbed a bank to try and pay for his partner's sexual reassignment surgery.
Yeah, and this came out in the 70s, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so like very ahead of its time, I feel like, and kind of just having a story so bluntly showing that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess that's kind of what happened after the whole fall of the studio system and the rise of New Hollywood in the late 60s. That's just kind of the direction things took. It's interesting to think about that, like how different movies were like 10 years before this one came out.
Yeah.
I still haven't seen it. Very sorry. I really want to. But if I can say one thing, I really love Sidney Lumet. I've seen Network and 12 Angry Men, neither of which are very relevant to anything we're talking about. But I just want to say I respect him. I think he's a great filmmaker. And then also, very random, but you saying what you said about this movie makes me want to say that I really love when a movie does like a 180, or not necessarily a 180, but just has a very sudden like change in what kind of film it is. You know what I mean? Is that kind of what Dog Day Afternoon is like? I don't know.
Sort of.
But like, is it really a plot twist when you figure out that that's what the movie's about? Or is it just kind of like...
It's not really a plot twist. I don't think so.
Yeah, okay. But I just kind of like when something happens in a movie that makes you kind of rethink everything that's happened before. Maybe that's not what this one is at all, but I'm still using it as a way to mention that. It's just an interesting thing.
Well, maybe I already
knew
the story beforehand, so it wasn't to me.
Yeah, okay. I guess that's how it'll be for everyone listening. But I digress. Dog Day Afternoon. People should watch it, including me. I'm people.
Yeah, you are people.
Indeed. You can talk about this next one. I haven't seen this one either.
Next one. A lot of you probably heard of it. Don't know if you've seen it. But anyway, Rocky Horror Picture Show. Kind of like a cult classic.
Yep.
In and outside of the LGBT community.
It seems like this one is like always playing at least one theater around us. Like Steel Stacks, like the Arts Quest Center, and Emmaus, I feel like, are playing this movie a lot.
Yeah, it's like
well,
a thing.
Well, not now, but like, yeah, is that a thing they do? Like in theaters?
Yeah, it's like a thing, and people come in live, like some groups come.
Really?
They perform, so it's like the Time Warp and stuff.
It's like a whole thing.
Yeah, and people throw stuff and...
Oh, like the Room.
Yeah.
Huh. Maybe I should, once theaters reopen, go see this.
A lot of bad language.
Oh, yeah. All right.
A lot
if
of
anybody's
bad language.
Not a fan of bad language, steer away from Rocky Horror Picture Show.
And it's sometimes it can be a little bit disrespectful towards women.
Yeah?
Towards women.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Who's in this movie? It's Tim Curry, right?
Yeah, Tim Curry.
Yeah. I haven't seen it. I don't really have anything to add. You got anything else?
Well, I guess I should talk about it a little bit. Basically, I think it can sort of be summed up in the fact that I think one of the songs... Wait, I'm going to find it. It's called... Oh, one of the songs is called Sweet Transvestite.
Oh.
So basically... It's about these two little straight people who happen to come across this mansion that has a bunch of interesting characters in it.
Yeah.
And the sort of like big guy of the mansion is Rocky, and everybody sort of loves Rocky.
Uh-huh. And naturally.
Yes. And Rocky is a cross-dresser, basically.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, all right. I'm definitely interested in this movie. Yeah.
I have to say, it's quite a thing.
A That seems like one way to put it. It's quite a movie.
Yeah. But very influential.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I want to check this one out.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving forward with a movie that I actually do know a little bit about, because I've actually seen it, is another famous one from a few years ago, The Favourite, directed by Greek filmmaker Yorgos Lanthimos. This is a lesbian film, for anyone who doesn't know, kind of all about, what's the queen's name in this movie? I forget which one.
Is it like Queen Anne?
Is it Anne? I think it might be.
I think it is.
Takes place like middle of the 18th century, around Seven Years' War,
like that.
Or American Revolution, maybe. Something around that time frame. But anyway, it's about that queen and two of her, like, are they advisors? Are they, like, just people living in her palace? I don't know, but they're kind of battling for her affection. They're fighting to be, I'm sorry to do this, but I must, they're fighting to be the favorite. You see what I did there? See what I did there?
Wow.
That's the title of the movie. I know that one took me a while to come up with. But Olivia Colman in this movie, oh my God, she is so good.
Yeah.
I love her in this movie.
There's
not much to say about it. She's just great. And I was really
surprised. Didn't she get like the surprise one at the Oscars?
Yeah. I was a little upset because I put Glenn Close on my ballot because I thought that was like a lock. And then out of nowhere, Olivia Colman won. So I was like conflicted because I really wanted Olivia Colman to win, but I didn't put her on my ballot. Anyway, long story short, Olivia Colman had the surprise win at the Oscars for Best Lead Actress. So that was interesting. Emma Stone and Rachel Weisz are also in this movie. Two great performances. Oh, and Nicholas Hoult, the guy who, before this, I only knew as Beast in X-Men, for anybody who watches those movies.
I don't think I've seen any of the X-Men movies.
Really?
Yeah.
I think I've seen them all. I think. I rewatched them before Dark Phoenix last year, which was quite a movie. So bad. Anyway, that is definitely off topic. You got anything else about The Favourite? What are your thoughts on this movie?
It's pretty good.
Yeah?
That's really all I have to say.
Yeah. It's
pretty good.
All right. I guess we can continue.
So next movie. Next movie we have to talk about. Pretty well known, Brokeback Mountain, directed by Ang Lee. I don't know how to say his name.
Ang Lee.
Yeah. Heath Ledger, Jake Gyllenhaal, gay cowboys, basically.
I still haven't seen it.
I cried for like a week.
Really?
Not even gonna lie. It was very sad.
Wow. I don't know how other people feel, but I like when a movie makes me cry. I think that means that it really works. Because in my opinion, when a movie could make you cry, or when a movie can make you really, really terrified, that's like some of the most raw emotions. And it's really, I think it's something that should be appreciated in a movie. And I don't mean like a jump scare. I mean like a real deep fear. Anyway, I am just on with the tangents today, aren't I?
Yes, you are.
Brokeback Mountain. What do you got to say about it? Because I don't have anything.
I think I've said enough. Like, people can sort of watch it for themselves, you know?
Yeah.
Jake Gyllenhaal, Heath Ledger, gay cowboys.
Enough said.
Very sad.
Yeah, all right. Sad. Is it available on anything? Where did you watch it?
I believe I rented it.
Okay, yeah. This seems like one worthy of a rental.
Or maybe I watched it for free somehow.
Right. In a way that will not be disclosed on this podcast.
Yeah. I'm not sure. Yeah. I don't really
Hard
remember.
To say. Who knows?
Who knows?
It's just the heat of the moment. You have no idea.
Yeah. All right. So, final sort of movie for now we have to talk about. Milk, directed by Gus Van Sant, who is, I think, gay or bisexual. I'm not sure. I have to look.
Yeah, I'm not really sure.
Yeah. Anyway, basically, Milk, about actual person named Harvey Milk, who was the first openly gay politician in California.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. I believe it is also sort of sad, but also very good, I believe.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen this, and I guess you haven't either. So,
yeah.
This came out in 2008, I think, right?
Yes. Yeah. 2000-something.
Seems like a good movie. We'll have to check it out.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we're doing the same thing for LGBT that we did for African-American filmmakers. So a few other LGBT directors to watch some movies from. Xavier Dolan. I've only seen one movie of his, which doesn't really focus on any LGBT aspects, but it's called Mommy. Great movie. I think I talked about it in our May film log episode. Xavier Dolan. He's a filmmaker to look for. Lena and Lily Wachowski. Two transgender mm-hmm. filmmakers who most famously directed the Matrix films.
Mm-hmm. And are also sisters.
Yes, yes. And then Todd Haynes, director of Carol. Have you seen that movie?
I watched half an hour of it, and then I had to go do something, and I never finished it.
Fair enough. That happens to me sometimes. Yeah. I've heard good things about it, though. I've heard Carol's a great movie. Xavier Dolan, Lena and Lily Wachowski, and Todd Haynes, a couple of modern LGBT directors to look for. And then finally, as a fun little bonus round, you could say, we have a couple of films, three films, which are a cross-section of the two. They are African-American and LGBT.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah.
First up, we got one that I believe we've talked about before. Yeah, in our favorites video. Or I keep saying video. Episode. Moonlight, directed by Barry Jenkins. I don't have much more to say that I haven't already said, but this is a fantastic movie. It's on Netflix. Mahershala Ali is mind-blowing. It's just such a good movie. You need to see it.
Yes. So, next movie, Tangerine, directed by Sean Baker. This movie is about, I believe, two trans women who are, like, two black trans women. And I've never seen it.
I haven't either.
Sean Baker is a good guy. I like him.
Yeah, I follow his Letterboxd account.
Me too.
Seems like a cool dude. He also has an Instagram account where he posts pictures of all of his vintage movie posters that he has. He's like a vintage movie poster collector. And honestly, that doesn't surprise me at all. And it's really fun because he... Same thing with like his Blu-ray collection or whatever. Very quick tangent. He just has the most random movies of like these crappy like 80s sexploitation movies or whatever. And like these weird 60s horror movies. It's things like that. It's just cool to me. Nice. So, yeah. Tangerine, Sean Baker. Paris is Burning. One.
Yeah. Paris is Burning.
Yeah.
Documentary. About, I believe... Black drag queens?
Yes, in New York City.
Yes. Directed by Denny Livingston.
I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it either.
It seems... But it was very important piece of media, I believe.
Yes, so we've heard. I imagine so we've heard. It is. It's got very good reviews from what I've seen. It just seems like a film to see. So, just to recap this quick little lightning bonus round. LGBT African-American movies. Moonlight, Tangerine, and Paris is Burning. Very exciting stuff. I'd say it's always important to watch movies that are relevant to today. It doesn't... Mm-hmm. It's not the end-all be-all for social commentary and conversation, but it certainly helps to kind of guide things, put you in a mindset that might be good, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
This has been good. I enjoyed this, Ari.
Me too.
You got anything else to say?
No. Maybe gay rights.
That's perfect. Perfect. Black Lives Matter.
Nice one.
I'd say that's all for today. And make sure to throw your popcorn away on the way out.